Ministry says an engine malfunction in the C-2 cargo plane seems to be the cause.
At The Hague.
Guilty, count two, genocide. Count three, persecution, a crime against humanity.
Former Bosnian count Serb military commander four, Ratko Mladic, known as the Butcher of Bosnia, has been found guilty of 10 counts of genocide, given a life sentence for war crimes committed during Bosnia's civil war in the 1990s. Uber riders, someone you don't know, could have your personal information. The company just now revealing it was hacked last year. There are reports the company paid the hackers to delete stolen information, but cyber scouts Adam Levin says
the issue when you pay a hacker to go away may well be that they don't go away. They take the money, they keep the information, they do whatever they do, they sell the information, and for Uber to say, well, we have no evidence that any of this led to anything, how do they know?
A teenage heartthrob is gone.
I think I love you.
David Cassidy has died of organ failure at the age of 67. Dow down 12 points. This is CBS News.
Happy the rescue dog. He was missing hair, stinky, scabby. But I have a vet that I trust, and she recommended Dynovite.
Order a 90-day supply of Dynovite for your dog this week.
We'll send you a bottle of Super Omega fish oil free.
Packed with omega-3, DHA, and EPA fatty acids.
Super Omega is great for your dog's immune system, healthy skin, and soft, shiny fur.
Try Super Omega fish oil.
Free this week at Dynovite.com.
Dynovite.com.
Hiring is important, but finding the right people can be a real challenge. That's why ZipRecruiter is obsessed with finding you qualified candidates fast. ZipRecruiter finds candidates with the right experience and notifies them to apply for your job. No wonder 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within just one day. The right candidates are out there. This is how you find them. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
To try ZipRecruiter for free, just go to ZipRecruiter.com/free. That's ZipRecruiter.com/free.
And good morning, Brian Barnhart in the DWS newsroom. 25 degrees now at 9:04, this day before Thanksgiving. Sunny and colder today, Greg says, with a high of 37. Increasingly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Not as cold tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day. Partly cloudy and a high of 45. Tomorrow night, fair with a low of 31. Windy and turning milder on Friday, sunny and 52. Saturday, 48 high and then 37 for the kickoff, 3 o'clock on Saturday, Illinois and Northwestern. Right now, 9:04, 25 degrees here at DWS. Jim Turpin's up next on Penny for Your Thoughts.
Penny Lane, there is a barber showing photographs of every head he's had the pleasure to know. And all the people that come and go stop and say,
good morning, everybody, and welcome to Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. As I was telling Dave and Elizabeth, we had a room full of guests yesterday, and today it's just me and you. I'm going to ask Tom Casey to come in a little bit later and talk about the county board and maybe a little bit about the turkey trot. What a big event that has become. You planning to do that? We'll have Tom tell you all about it. And in the meantime, we have 2 hours of open line. Here's how you get on the air in case you're new to the program. Just call 356-9397. We don't screen calls. In other words, we don't ask you what you want to talk about or anything like that. Ed Bond picks up the phone and he simply says, you want to be on Penny and like to have your first name so Jim can call you by your first name, and that's all there is to it. Or you can send us a text. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 217-351-5357. County Board last night passed a six-month budget that assures only 6 months of funding for the Champaign County nursing home. Still no plans to sell, but I believe they're getting closer. Also, in fact, they tried to get a 12-month budget assuring no selling, no layoffs, etc., but that didn't work, so it went to 6 months. We'll have Tom talk more about that when he comes in. This 6 months budget assures that no layoffs during that time period. That's always one of the things that the people are worried about. They keep putting money into the nursing home. Looks like they're going to have to make cuts every place else. Let's see what James has to say. You are first up today, James. What's on your mind?
Well, I had three brief comments.
Okay.
The first one was on a serious note. Last week's discussion of cell phones and driving.
Yes.
Well, myself personally, when I'm driving, I keep my cell phone in my left front pocket of my blue jeans, and if for some reason the stupid thing rings, I find a safe place to pull over and park and see what's going on.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And because you do not, it's distracted driving, and I'm tired of people around me when I'm driving. They're driving telephone booths.
Well, that's right.
Scary,
and the law enforcement people talk about the high percentage of accidents that and even deaths that have been caused by people that were doing that, either texting or making a phone call or doing something other than concentrating on their driving.
Well, I always concentrate on my driving ahead, and I glance at the rearview mirrors constantly to make sure what's going on. I'm a safe driver. I had my license back 18 years, no moving violations.
Good for you. Okay, that's one thing. What else did you have in your mind?
Well, as most people should know by now, Charles Mills Manson is no longer with us. So that aside, we had a local legend. And now the older people should remember this. And I remember it because I grew up with it because I was 10 years old in 1969. It was a very strange time in 1969 for us Americans.
Yes, it was.
But you know who our local legend was?
No.
Michael Canyon.
Tell me about it.
The legend of the Illinois Enema Bandit.
Oh, well, I know about the Enema Bandit, but I didn't remember his name.
He got two girls blocked behind my mom and dad's house, man. It was a scary time. The police were baffled. They couldn't catch the guy, but they finally got him. But oh, well.
What's the third thing?
Well, end of story. You guys have a good holiday and drive safely. Thank
you
very much.
Appreciate your call, James. Thank you. The Enema Bandit. Tom is next. Hi, Tom.
How you doing? I remember the Enema Bandit. Got a question. When was the first Thanksgiving, and was it started by the Pilgrims that landed at Plymouth Rock?
Oh, I don't have any idea. Ed looked at he can Google that pretty fast. We'll find out for you.
We could ask Lauren.
Ask who? You say you could ask Lauren? Is that what he said? I think he is indicating that Lauren must have been around about that time of the first Thanksgiving. Then again, maybe not. Well, big story, a headline story, front page of the paper today. The Big Ten Network agrees to avoid the chief. Sale of items with the logo ending as well. And as usual, leading the charge is Professor Stephen Kaufman, an emeritus professor at the U of I. Is that what an emeritus professor does? He's not teaching. He's just out doing stuff. Kaufman seems to have plenty of time to do things, particularly when something has to do with the chief comes up. He has made a career of this. Jim Dye writes that the public is paying for the cover-up. Public officials choose to try to keep public information secret. Take a look at that story this morning. Very interesting. And the Democrats are going after Moore and Franken, but many of them are silent on Clinton. I don't know why. Do you? Rush has been on this for a long time. CBS News and NPR have cut ties to Charlie Rose, as you might know. You know, some of these sexual harassment charges are kind of difficult to understand. At least they haven't played out yet to the point where you know exactly what happened. But in the case of Charlie Rose, these women are talking about him walking around naked in front of them and a few other things. And I have here just about two paragraphs of a commencement speech that he gave at a college, I believe Georgetown. And I'm going to read that to you. It's very interesting considering what has happened to Charlie Rose to this point. Saturday Night Live friends are standing up for Franken. And President Trump says that the NFL may keep teams in the locker rooms during the national anthem next year. A lot of people saying, no, that's not what we need to do. We just need to police them otherwise. But I don't know if that's even going to happen. Maybe it's just one of the things they're talking about. And a non-white student has been linked to the racist graffiti inside a school, according to administrators there. The student confessed writing "White Lives Matter" on a mirror in a girl's bathroom. So this was a non-white student that wrote this, and why would a person do that? Well, I don't know. Cause a little trouble, I guess. Hillary Clinton says Obama's record made it hard to run on, quote, agenda of change, and that was a significant problem for her during the 2016 campaign. Hillary has spent about a year now trying to tell people why she lost, and I, for one, wish she would just kind of move on. It's over. Wasn't so bad for a couple of weeks afterwards or a month or so, but on and on and on and on. I lost because of this. I lost because of that. I lost because of the other. Email in here from, Benny? Benny says, good morning, Jim. Hope you and your family have a happy Thanksgiving. And I'll truly miss you and thank you for putting up with me and all my college football and basketball teams. I miss John Gross, but I'm enjoying Brad Underwood. I'll be at the game tonight wearing my orange Go Illini. Benny, we've enjoyed talking to you, and you're a terrific guy, and your interest in college football and basketball is just terrific. Keep up the good work. And you have a bunch of teams that you like, and what's wrong with that? Who says you have to just have one team? No, no, no. You can have as many teams as you want. So just keep doing it. And let's see, what an embarrassment the way Hess talks to Representative Rodney Davis today. More of an embarrassment of her ignorance is that Dave Gentry and WDWS lets her act that way. You are turning into such a joke. Wow. And Eric says, I am curious, Jim, have you ever had a deep-fried turkey for Thanksgiving? I will, and it'll be the best-tasting kind you've ever had. Happy Thanksgiving. That is Eric in Champaign. I leave the cooking, and my job is to partake after all these people have done all these work for hours and hours getting things ready. Fred is up next. Hi, Fred.
Good morning, Jim. Quick question. Have you read anything about this slush fund that the House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate has on these sexual harassment charges?
I don't believe I have. No. Tell me about it.
It's unbelievable. The United States government has paid out $17 million.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about now. I didn't quite get it. Yeah, go ahead, though.
I tell you what, I am really against all these guys that are doing all this stuff. But I tell you, when our people that we rely on in our government has their own slush fund, and you and I, as taxpayers, are paying for this, I think it's absolutely horrible.
Well, it is. They get us any way they can, don't they?
Well, the bad thing about it is they seem to be able to get away with anything they want to because they are in government, and I totally think that's wrong. I don't think they're any better than that Weinstein or Charlie Rose or any of the rest of those guys.
Well, they do some embarrassing things, that's for sure. If it were me, I would be embarrassed to do what some of them do. That's right.
Anyway, have a good Thanksgiving. I just thought I'd bring that up to your listeners if a lot of people didn't know about that.
Yeah, I just read briefly about that just maybe a day or so ago, but I didn't have any details. I'm glad you brought it up, Fred. Thank you. Jim is next. Hi, Jim.
Yes, good morning. Jim, I called yesterday and I was talking about the same thing. Judge McCaskey dismissed me as saying that was fake news. Now, last night, Jonathan Turley is a constitutional attorney at George Washington University, and far from being a Republican, he talked about the settlements that's kept secret American people. And he's called it using official resources. Well, now, the judge yesterday said that there's no money that ever goes out from Congress without people knowing it. Well, that was a fib, and you didn't give me time to retaliate against his statement because you cut me off. But anyway, John, there was a congressman on last night on Ryan Costello was his name. And he said that he admitted that there is a official fund for these people in Congress. We're talking about Republicans and Democrats both. And now they've come out with another harassment settlement. This John Conis used taxpayers' dollars to settle claims. He paid $27,000 out. So this is happening despite what Judge McCaskey said. It was fake news. So that's all I got, Jim.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate the call. Ursula is next. Hello, Ursula.
Hi. Years ago, people used to go, when they traveled to Europe, they'd hit Italy. And then the question when they came back to women was, did you get pinched? Did you get pinched in your bottom? And if you weren't, well, then you'd missed out because Italy was known that the men there did that. So
yeah, that's exactly right. I know that that story, and it's true, and I never heard anybody yell sexual harassment on that, did you?
No, they were kind of, oh, jeeps, you didn't get pinched. Isn't that too bad? Must be ugly or something.
Yeah, it's kind of a badge of honor to be able to say, oh, yeah, I was walking down the street, and these
Yeah.
These Italians have pinched me on the rear end.
Yeah, and the thing is, this is going to go on forever and ever and ever, because if you were to ask a lot of women, or all the women, and have them raise their hand to say that they had somehow had an experience with an older man, as this happened all the time, and that was sort of like a power play, and oh my goodness, there's this little girl, this is, you know, they were in charge, and I don't know, it, you know, it's got to stop. I'm tired of listening to this stuff. Do it in private, you know, we know already, okay?
What do you mean, do it in private?
Well, I mean, don't, I mean, the news, I mean, there's so many terrible things, you know, going on that we have to pay attention to, that, you know, this has happened in another time. I mean, like 30, 40 years ago. I'm sure it still goes on, but, you know, if you're a woman, you can let them know, get your paws off of me before it even gets close to you. So that's
okay. Well, appreciate your call, Ursula. Thank you. Take a break here in just a moment, but this is very interesting. This is about Charlie Rose, who got fired by both CBS and PBS. And in 2015, he was talking to the graduates at Georgetown University. He was their commencement speaker. And here's what he said. This is very short, but just think about what he has done, or what he is alleged to have done, and what he said. He said this: think ahead to the end of your life and think about what you would like to be remembered for at the end of your life. It's not honor, it's not prestige, it's character. It is integrity. It is truth. It is doing the right thing. I know it's hard to imagine or think about that when you're 22, but it's easy when you're 73. Well, perhaps it is, but I don't believe you were, Charlie was thinking much about it. But that was just a couple of years ago when he was the commencement speaker, and he had that to say, and much of this stuff that he's been accused of doing was happening about that time, or even and since then. All right, 9:24, a break here, Mr. Bond, coming right back.
Listen to a satisfied Beltone customer.
I'm Bud Brinkley. During the 15 years or so I've been using Beltone hearing aids, each year they come up with something new in the hearing aid business. My hearing aids are dialed in, so if I get out, like I play a lot of golf, and I get out on a golf course and it's windy, and they my hearing aids so that the wind gets cut out and I can hear the person in the cart with me. And then they have a setting on there that's specially used for when I'm on a telephone. Like mine has two speakers, a front speaker and a rear speaker. And if there's somebody behind me talking and I don't want to hear them, I can turn off the rear speakers and the person I'm talking to across the table from me gets my full attention. I don't have to listen to the people behind me. The friendly service that I receive from my local hearing aid specialist is outstanding. Becky and Lori and Jennifer and Carla, they're all great people. You walk in there just like they know your name, who you are, your likes and dislikes, more or less.
Visit your local Beltone in Champaign at 816 North Country Fair Drive or call 359-3331.
You owe over $10,000 in back taxes. You've called every tax firm out there. They all say the same thing, making promises they never keep, and you're sick of it. What you really need is a new start on your back taxes. If you're faced with garnishments, levies, audits, or years of unfiled tax returns, we'll fight to get you the new start you deserve. Call 1-800-733-0145. Our New Start program will stop collection efforts, remove any liens the IRS has in place, and help you reduce your back taxes by as much as 80%. That's right, 80%. Don't wait until another tax season ends and another year of penalties and interest are added to your balance. If you owe at least $10,000 to the IRS and need a new start on your back taxes, call 1-800-733-0145. That's 1-800-733-0145. Let the professionals at Coast One Financial Group fight to get you the new start you deserve. Again, that's 1-800-733-0145.
Get up, get going, because Ashley Home Store's sensational Black Friday event is almost here. This Friday, get up to 50% off or choose 72 months no interest and shop incredible Black Friday deals like a five-piece bedroom for just $395, only $595 for a sofa and a love seat, or only $145 for an entertainment center. And queen mattress sets start at $275. Ashley Home Store's Black Friday event happens just once a year, only at your Central Illinois Ashley Home Stores, now open in East Peoria.
Attention Central Illinois new car buyers. If you're searching for the absolute best price on a new Buick or GMC, look no further than Warden Martin Buick GMC. Our entire inventory is priced at the lowest you'll find. And if you do find a price lower than ours, we'll match it. That's the price match guarantee. We'll match any competitor's advertised price on a new Buick or GMC, period. Visit Warden Martin Buick GMC today. We're with you along the way.
Warden Martin, we're with you along the way.
Restrictions apply. See dealer for detail.
It's Fighting Illini football senior day at Memorial Stadium Saturday. Kickoff against Northwestern at 3 o'clock. Michael Kaiser has Illini game day starting at 1:30 Saturday.
And we have two sports tonight, basketball and volleyball. We'll talk more about that as we go along this morning. They're on at virtually the same time. Too bad. But that's the way it is. Bob is next. Hello, Bob.
Hi. I'm not knocking anybody on this question, but I do have a question. Is we have all these shootings, so many people were killed, and I'm going to bring the respective, bring it up like this. Let's start with these illegal prostitute rings that women get pregnant, and there's full of, after the baby's full developed, there's abortions out through the whole country, United States, with babies being full developed is abortions. And, you know, if the baby's fully developed, if that is a murder, I don't know what you call it. And I just wondered if somebody could come up with a figure in different countries and throughout the United States, how many babies are actually killed.
You want to know how many abortions there have been where
the baby's been fully developed.
The baby's been fully developed in other countries? Is that what you're asking?
In other countries or the United States. And if that's not murder, Jim, I don't know what you call it.
Yeah,
even if they're partly developed.
Well, a lot of people call it murder. I can see how you would feel that way, but I don't know I don't have any idea of how you'd find out what the number would be in other countries. Maybe we could.
I just somebody come up with a number, because you know this person killed 59 people, this person killed 9 people in the church, this person killed so many people on the highway. I'm sorry, I'm a believer in life, and if people don't like my opinion, you know, that's my opinion about the whole thing. But I think when the child is fully developed and that child is taken out of the mother's womb, I'm sorry, to me, that's murder.
All right. Appreciate it, Bob. Thank you. It is 9:30, a time for the news headlines with Brian Barnhart. Back with Tom Kasich right after that to talk a little bit about the Champaign County Nursing Home and the board meeting last night, and maybe a little bit about the turkey trot as well. But Brian has the news headlines, and I was just mentioning, Brian, a busy day in the sports, as we've got two very important athletic events, men's basketball and volleyball, going on at the same time.
Yep, basically. We're going to start here, you know, with the basketball. I think it's 6 on both our stations, WDWS and Light Rock, and then going to join volleyball with Dave Lone when they get ready to start. And, of course, the basketball game will still be on Light Rock, so kind of hitting both.
So the volleyball, when it starts, will be on AM and
right.
Basketball only on FM.
That's correct. Yep. So
okay.
if you're listening to the basketball on AM and you suddenly hear volleyball, you can stay with volleyball. You can put two radios on. You can do one in each room. You can do whatever, but you'll hear them simultaneously.
Or you can even go to the games.
Or you could even go to the game and listen to one while one's being played, or vice versa.
There you go.
Vice versa.
So. All right, news headlines.
All right, thank you, Jim, and good morning. Yeah, busy night ahead, weekend ahead here for Thanksgiving. This update brought to you by First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust, providing financial solutions since 1865. Visit firstmid.com to find out more. Sunny and colder today in 37. The European Union says it counts on the Balkan nations to honor the victims of war crimes committed in the Bosnian War by promoting reconciliation among neighbors. The East European Union said it cannot comment specifically on the judgment today against a former leader there. He was the teen and preteen idol who starred in the 1970s sitcom The Partridge Family. David Cassidy passed away Tuesday at the age of 67. His publicist released a statement saying Cassidy was surrounded by his family. The Champaign County Board has passed a budget that avoids a laundry list of cuts but only guarantees funding for the county nursing home for 6 months. The budget does not include around $1.4 million in proposed cuts. And the Danville City Council last night gave Presence Pro Ambulance Service the green light to move into the vacant fire station at 1711 East Main Street. The council approved the needed zoning change there. Back with the markets and the forecast in a moment. At this hour, the Dow is down 30, the NASDAQ down 1, the S&P down 2. This day before Thanksgiving, sunny and colder, a high of 37 today, increasingly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Looks good for tomorrow for Thanksgiving Day, high of 45, partly cloudy. Fair tomorrow night, a low of 31. Windy and milder on Friday, and a high 52 with all the shoppers out there. Sunny tomorrow as well, on Friday as well. Right now in Champaign-Urbana, we have some sunshine currently, 25 degrees, 934. Our headlines brought to you by First Mid-Illinois Bank and Trust. Jim returns with more Penny next.
We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Tom Kasich has joined me here in the studio for a few minutes. We pulled him away from his work to talk to him a little bit about what happened last night at the Champaign County board meeting. And I want to talk to him a little bit about one of his favorite events is the Turkey Trot.
Absolutely.
You've been training for that?
No training. I'm just going to walk it.
Running this time, huh?
Nah, I haven't run for a while because generally now we just have little grandkids with us. And I can't run and carry them at the same time.
I'll talk to you more about that here in just a minute because this has really evolved and there's a lot of things that are now in the Turkey Trot, raffles and all those kind of things we can talk about. But I want to ask you, what was you covered in the meeting last night when it was over and you turned your story in and you were telling me it was just after 9 o'clock, so it wasn't a six-hour meeting like the one before. But what was your conclusions after you heard what happened?
Well, first of all, one of the things I'm thankful for is that meeting didn't go till 1 o'clock like the previous one did. It was done by 9. Here's what's going on with the county board and the nursing home. The board had to approve a budget because the fiscal year starts January 1, and their choice was to cut either $1.4 million from the budget online, the budget that was before them, or pass a 12-month nursing home budget. So what they did was pass a 6-month nursing home budget and avoided all those cuts. Cuts to programs, potential cuts to services, for example, fewer voting places, no funding from the county for the Youth Assessment Center, which is a valued program. So they were really faced with a difficult situation. And they ended up getting I thought I had pre-written my story that said that it would be 11 to 10. It turned out it was 13 to 8. So not only did three Democrats vote with the Republicans, well, not only did one Democrat vote with the Republicans, but three did. So I think we're possibly seeing a little shift there among the Democrats on the board to say that, you know, this is, we can't let this go much longer.
We got to sell.
We're going to have to sell it. And if we don't sell it, it's gonna close on its own. And they don't want that. Nobody really wants it to close. because the county wants to get back some money for that building. So the hope is, or the plan is, that in December they would go back and issue a RFP for people, for groups, businesses that would be interested in purchasing the nursing home.
So are the Democrats who have been so adamant about the fact that the people in their districts, their constituents, didn't vote in the referendum for closing it.
Yeah.
Are they sort of coming around now?
I think that, you know, they're still willing to give it a few more months, but it's really getting down to the, you know, the brass tacks. They've got it continues to lose money. The census is up a bit, but or flat. You know, so the census really has to grow. It's only been around, bouncing between 130 and 145. It really needs to be way higher than that, you know, something around 170 or 180. So the hope and the plan is to increase that census vigorously in the next few months. But if that doesn't happen, then they're going to have to, I think they're going to have to sell it. If there's a buyer, you know, that's the other thing.
Tom, I know a lot of people listening. I know that my wife is in an assisted living place out at the Villa, which is at the Springfield and Staley. It's a very nice place. But as I think back about the Champaign County nursing home, when it first began and when it was thriving, there weren't, the Villa was not here, and all these others and
oh, yeah.
Virtually every community around here has something that does the same kinds of things that they do at the nursing home.
Right. They've really
competition,
had,
in other words.
It's competition, and what happens at the nursing home is they get a lot of Medicaid patients mm-hmm. who can't afford to go to places like the Villa or Clark Lindsay or the place up in Gifford. So they get the higher cost patients, and Medicaid doesn't reimburse close to what private pays the nursing home. So it's just a tough situation for a public nursing home. Like the Champaign County Nursing Home, so I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. It's a tough decision, but you know, I can't hardly see that there's any other option for them.
So just to wrap it up, the decision they have to make in December is what?
Is to put it out on the market again, to say we're going to go out for bids from anybody who's interested in purchasing the nursing home, some private owner. There are private chains out there that do operate nursing homes, and the county board is looking for somebody that's willing to put up a lot of money. They're hoping for something like $11 million for it or more, and that would really be great as far as the county's concerned, because that would pay off all the old bills, maybe even give the county a million or so to spend on other things.
And as you mentioned, no one wants it just to go dark, so
oh, no,
to speak.
That would be the
because,
worst.
Yeah, that would, then you got a
building that's empty. You get nothing for it. You still have a tax to pay off the bonds. That would be miserable. That would be the worst of all options.
Well, glad you got home early last night.
Oh yeah, I even saw the last 5 minutes of a hockey game.
The turkey trot. I want to spend a couple of minutes on that. You write a story about it today, and the headline is, Turkey Trot has evolved into a massive event, and you talk about the beginning of it, and Robin Hall was the guy that got that started. He said, was it 15 or 20 people at the first one?
Yeah. Do you know Robin very well?
Oh, yeah, very well.
Robin's such a great guy, mm-hmm. and he's such a vivacious person, and just he's got a great heart, and I love the turkey trot because of all, you know, it's free, it's open to everybody, it's short, it's accessible, it's, you know, there's people of all ages, and, you know, you're just there for an hour or so, and you get to see everybody you know, and it's a great event.
Get a little hot chocolate if it's...
There's hot chocolate, and people really, you know, I got a friend who wears a Green Bay Packers helmet, and, you know, just, it's just great, And Robin started this in 1968. He was just out of college, 25 years old, and he had this idea to, you know, have people run around on Thanksgiving Day. And the first one had to be postponed because of a rainstorm. They had it 3 days, 2 days later, and it's just grown so big. It, you know, started with 25 or 30 people, and now
you get a couple thousand, maybe.
I'm almost certain you'll get more than 2,000 tomorrow because the weather's going to be nice, and it's the 50th anniversary. You know.
So you can go. There are a handful of serious runners, and the rest of people kind of trot, or they walk, or do whatever they want.
Or they have their dogs, or they push their baby strollers. It's just a great towny event.
Now they got some. You say here's a couple of turkey trot related to reminder registration. If you want to, they have a raffle of some kind going.
Yeah, they're raffling. They have a $500 travel voucher that somebody's going to win. They've got, I think, 20 turkeys. There's always a lot of prizes. Mm-hmm. If you want to stick around after the race or the run or the walk or whatever, and they give away all kinds of stuff. So that if you register for that.
Doesn't cost anything to
nope.
enter the raffle, just get
nope.
a ticket or something?
You just fill out your form.
Okay.
Be nice to drop a couple bucks in. There's a couple pots there for people to drop money in for scholarship fund for the park district so that kids can go to summer camp next year or other mm-hmm. things. But that's your only cost.
And
that's not a cost.
I see that overflow parking is in a special events a lot near the corner of Broadway and Park.
Yeah, so that would be just southeast of Crystal Lake.
Okay, so you're walking.
Yeah, the whole family's going to be, well, almost the whole family. There'll be, 11 of us, I think, you know, from the age of 2 to me. I'm pretty old.
From 2 to me.
Yeah.
And there again, anybody that has not been to this, don't be intimidated by some of those people that think
no.
this is a race because it,
they get up front.
Yeah,
and the rest of us get out of their way. And
yeah, but some of them even try to lap you. You know, they
yeah.
might do it two or three times.
Yeah, but then they won't get a ribbon.
That's right. Well, Tom, the meeting last night, I'm glad you explained it, and we'll keep after that because that's, of all the pressing problems we have in our community, that's one of the big ones.
Yep. It's costing a lot of money to the county general fund, and it costs people, you know, in their property taxes, so, people should be aware of it.
And have a good time tomorrow.
Thank you, sir. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
And the same, yeah, and the same to you and your family. Sounds like you got quite a crew going.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
We'll take a break here, Mr. Bond. We'll come right back, and the phone lines are open again right up until 11 o'clock this morning. We've been visiting with Tom Kasich here from the News Gazette. And then at 7 over at Huff, you're going to have to make some decisions tonight. Which of the two events maybe you can go to both. Go there early to basketball and zip on over to volleyball, whatever you want to do. But the volleyball team is 10-8 in the conference. They're 19-10 overall. So a victory tonight would, of course, put them at the 20 victory mark for the season, which always looks good. But more than that, it would keep them up in the top 7 or so of the women's standings in volleyball. And I believe last year they took 7 teams. So that's about where the cutoff is. And there are several teams right in that area. Purdue, for one, is 11-7. Wisconsin is 10-8, same as Illinois. Michigan right behind them at 9-9. And that's about it. Now, Iowa is 7-11. And they'll be fighting to hope that they would get a bid, but that looks pretty unlikely. Even if they won their last couple of matches, they would only have 9 victories. It would be 9-11. So I don't know about that. But tonight, Iowa is at Illinois. Ohio State is at Maryland and Nebraska at Northwestern. And then on Friday, Michigan is at Indiana, Northwestern at Maryland, and one that's pretty important to us, Penn State, is at Wisconsin. Penn State will likely win that, or I would think they would. Penn State is 17-1 for the year, tied with Nebraska for first place. So if a Penn State would beat Wisconsin, that would push them down one game and or one match. And they are, as I mentioned before, tied with Illinois. So if you haven't been to a volleyball match, it's great fun. And this is senior night. There is only one senior, and she is a fantastic. Brandy Donnelly was hurt her leg, hurt her knee, I think it was. I'm not sure exactly what the injury was when she. I was there the night that it happened, and I thought, it's an ACL, or she's gone for the season. But she missed several matches, six or seven matches, and the team did not do great during that time. We had some others that came in and did a fine job in her place, but there is nobody like Brandy Donnelly. She has won an award from the Big Ten Conference the last couple of weeks, and we need her. To be a good team, we need her, and she will be honored tonight after the match. We're at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. We have an open line going all the way up until 11 o'clock this morning. Well, Charlie Rose joins a long list of media figures who have lost their jobs because of what some people call workplace behavior, including Fox News CEO Roger Ailes, Fox host Bill O'Reilly, NBC News reporter Mark Halperin, National Public Radio News Chief Michael Oreskes, and the reckoning has come to Entertainment 2, led by all the assault allegations against Hollywood mogul Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, etc. CBS News President David Rhodes said, despite Charlie's important journalistic contribution to our news division, there's absolutely nothing more important in this or any organization than ensuring a safe, professional workplace, a supportive environment where people feel they can do their best work. We need to be such a place. Rose had no immediate reaction to his firing in a statement late Monday. He apologized for his actions and said he was deeply embarrassed. Several women have accused Rose of touching them on their this and this and this and this and emerging naked from a shower when they were working at his residence, and in one case, calling a 21-year-old staffer to tell his fantasies of seeing her swim in the nude. They say he is a sexual predator, and I was his victim. PBS didn't technically fire Rose, since the 75-year-old newsman owns the company that produces his show. But since 1991, Rose has interviewed leading figures in politics, entertainment, business, the media, and government at a depth not usually seen on the television. His show aired in 94% of the country. PBS said it hasn't yet considered what will replace the show. The service is providing member stations reruns of This Old House and Finding Your Roots to fill the holes in their schedule for this week. And they had an extraordinary broadcast Tuesday on CBS where co-hosts Gail King and Nora O'Donnell, who work with Rose, work without a substitute on this show, and Charlie took their former colleague to task. Spent the whole show talking about him, and someone off camera said, he is toast. And indeed, that turned out to be right. More open line the second hour on DWS in Champaign-Urbana.
Good morning. 28 degrees now in downtown Champaign here at DWS. We are at 10:04. Our local news headlines here, headed for a high of 37, 28 right now. The Champaign County Board has passed a budget that avoids a laundry list of cuts, but only guarantees funding for the county nursing home for 6 months. The budget passed last night by a vote of 13 to 8. The budget does not include around $1.4 million in proposed cuts, including consolidating polling places, cuts to the Youth Assessment Center, and possible layoffs. And board members are still leaving the door open to putting the nursing home on the market. Meanwhile, the board signed off last night on Deb Busey returning to the county administrator post on a temporary basis. The president of the Champaign County Association of Realtors says he's surprised that tax reform proposals in Washington include removing the tax incentive to own a home. Max McComb made the comments as the local realty group released home sales numbers for October. McComb says the Champaign County Association of Realtors lobbied Congress heavily to not harm tax incentives as part of home ownership. And McComb says the tax incentives are critical for a strong housing market that creates jobs and builds stable communities. And he says the impact the tax proposals could have on individual homeowners will depend on what tax bracket people are in. McComb also had the numbers from the home sales for the last month in Champaign County. Those numbers were down from the previous month. A St. Joseph man has posted the $1,500 needed to get out of jail in a case where he's accused of driving under the influence of drugs and causing a crash. 20-year-old Clayton Holzinger made his first court appearance yesterday afternoon and was told to be back in court December 28th. State police say that crash occurred around 7:40 a.m. on Monday on I-74 eastbound between Urbana and St. Joseph. And the Danville woman who was killed in an accident early Friday morning has been identified. Vermilion County Coroner Jane McFadden says 31-year-old Myosha Palmore was the victim in the crash around 12:20 on Friday morning. The driver there, McFadden, says that Palmore's 3-year-old passenger was listed in stable condition, according to the Vermilion County Coroner there, Jane McFadden. As far as the forecast today, sunny and colder, a high of increasingly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. Not as cold tomorrow for your Thanksgiving. Partly cloudy and a high of 45. Fair tomorrow night, 31. Friday's high. High will be 52 with sunny skies here in East Central Illinois. Right now, 28 degrees, 10:07. Jim returns. Hour number two, a penny for your thoughts, is next on News Talk 1400.
And we're back on a penny for your thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. Phone lines open at 356-9397. The Castle Heating and Cooling text line is 351-5357. So let's get some dialogue going here. I never know what you want to talk about, but I know that a lot of you do want to talk about something. So this is your time. We have a lot of guests, and I think guests are a very important part of the program, and calls from you, a conversation with you, has always been a big part of it as well. Don't know if you've seen the News Gazette this morning or not, or heard our newscast, but the Big Ten Network has agreed to avoid the chief. That is the headline, the retailer's sale of items with the logo ending as well. And I don't know if you know about this or how it happened or so forth, but guess who was involved in all this? It's Professor Stephen Kaufman, that's who. Tell you more about Julie Worth's story and what happened. Let's go to Tim. Hello, Tim.
How's it going, Jim? I want to bring up a article that was in Sunday's paper about the ice sheets or the new maybe ice arena. I really would like to see that built south of, I'm still going to call it Assembly Hall, because it would be located close to campus. There wouldn't be any lease hanging over the head of anybody at the DIA. But I think that Peter Fox and even any Josh Whitman or the people in town that would consider that are missing the boat a little bit. What better ambassador do we have in this town than Bonnie Blair? Bonnie Blair needs a statue of her own. There's no way they would have put one up by the U of Ice Arena. You know, we're going to have one at Dick Butkus, but we've got an Olympic champion. Champaign-Urbana has been known for Olympic athletes in skating, going back to the Tim Ponies and the Prathers from Urbana. You got Eric calls in all the time. Eric's a four-time Olympian. I think that they need to reach out to those people, and they could even fundraise for this. But I really think Division I hockey would be an explode on this campus. That would fill out the Big Ten with eight teams. They could have a tournament. And, you know, you've gone to a lot of the volleyball games. Hockey games are just as rowdy than the women's volleyball. Plus, it has been a U of I sport on campus, going back to Ray Elliott. And there is a lot of history with that, with the university. But I really would like to see that come back. And I think Illinois would do very well with the Chicago connections they could bring up. But the other thing is, we need to really bring in our own, meaning the people from Champaign-Urbana that support hockey and the U of I Ice Arena and the speed skating clubs, because we've had a lot of events. We still have the Land of Lincoln. And if anybody else is listening, maybe they can bring that up. But this is a facility that's been needed for a long time, and I would be really like to see it happen. Maybe I'll let anybody else call about it, because
well, I have a couple things. I'm glad you called about it, Tim. I have a couple things I would like to say as well. First of all,
sure,
I agree with you on if indeed this does happen someday, but it belongs on the campus. It to have it as part of a downtown convention place like the other developer has in mind, I don't think it would be the right thing to do. And one of the other problems that they have is that adding a sport means they have to add a women's sport. And what do you think they should add?
They could add field hockey. Northwestern has field hockey. All you need is a stick and a ball and a pair of shorts.
I saw some field hockey on television the other day.
They've already got the field for it, and it wouldn't cost that much. Women's field hockey would take care of that, and it wouldn't cost very much. Right there, you could have your half scholarships for two athletes.
Half scholarships for two athletes. What do you mean?
Well, you know, they don't give them a full ride.
Right,
I don't think the women have a full ride, so you'd have a full ride for two athletes.
Mm-hmm. I get you.
But the women's field hockey would take care of that. That'd take care of the Title IX problem right there. What do they need for field hockey?
You said they have a field for it. What field are you talking about?
Well, they could play where the soccer team's at, you know, or the fields that are west of Memorial Stadium, the new fields they have set up there. It wouldn't take that much to put those out there, or, you know, where they have the women in soccer.
Is field hockey played on grass, or does it have to be artificial turf?
I think it's both. It's field turf now. I imagine they'd like it on grass, but I'm sure a lot of it's not. I'm not that familiar with it, but I know there's not much to the equipment and the, the uniforms. Nike would provide those. I mean, you know, what do they need?
There's travel and all those kind of things, but that's minimal. I agree with you on that. Thank you, Tim.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. The idea of having Bonnie Blair involved in it in some way was Eric Hendrickson and others. It'd be great. I don't know where that is on the drawing board. I mean, it's on the drawing board, but what position it has or what the feasibility of that, I don't know. Don't you think it'd be better to have it on the campus rather than downtown? That's the South Campus, that's for sure. Used to be known as the Barnes or the Farm, but that seems to me to be the right place. Anyway, the Big Ten Network has agreed to avoid images of a Chief Illiniwek logo during its Illini broadcasts following a complaint about its coverage of the November 11th football game. The Big Ten Conference and BTN have also asked their merchandise partner, that is Fantastics, or Fanatics, I should say, Fanatics, to no longer sell items featuring the Chief logo, which the U of I stopped using in 2007 under pressure from the NCAA. The decisions were outlined in a November 14th email from the Big Ten Deputy Commissioner to Stephen Kaufman, an emeritus professor. Here's the conference writing to Stephen Kaufman at the U of I and a longtime chief opponent. Kaufman and the Illinois student body president, Shamseldon, had written the day before to all 14 Big Ten University presidents and chancellors who make up the conference's Council of Presidents. The letter complained that the Big Ten Network broadcast included images of a flag depicting the former logo of the University of Illinois mascot Chief Illiniwek. As you are undoubtedly aware, they wrote, the NCAA banned the use of such Native American imagery by its member institutions because such depictions promote a hostile and abusive racial climate. The failure of the Big Ten Conference to comply with that NCAA policy undermines the NCAA's goal of promoting a non-discriminatory environment in intercollegiate athletics that is welcoming to all. The email included an image taken from the Veterans Day broadcast of an American flag flying above a flag with a chief logo, presumably from a tailgate area. This was somebody out in Grange Grove or someplace. The letter also complained that the Big Ten sold merchandise with the chief logo on its website with a link to an online Big Ten Network fan shop featuring chief T-shirts and other items. We urge you to take immediate action to end these practices by the Big Ten Conference. Moreover, we request you inquire where the Chief Illiniwek flag broadcast by the Big Ten Network was flown and instruct those responsible to cease that display. Now, if you're talking about asking somebody out in that is out tailgating and has a chief flag of some kind, if you're asking them to cease that display, you're good luck with that. Anyway, we got Stephen Kaufman and the head of the student body president are writing letters to all 14 Big Ten University presidents and chancellors, and then we got the Big Ten writing back to him and so on. Never stops. This evidently was a little flag out in the tailgate area. Wasn't something the university was flying. We'll take a break here, Mr. Bond. We're coming right back. A caller's hold on. And back to the phones we go for Rick. Hello, Rick.
Hi, Jim. You're sure going to be missed.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I'll miss it myself.
Well, thank you. We've enjoyed visiting with you through the years. I'm sure that this Kaufman is a very nice man, but I do remember meeting him briefly at the hearing that Tim Johnson put on about the chief, and I think I was mid-sentence giving my viewpoint to him. He, of course, gave me his viewpoint, anti-chief, and I was mid-sentence in giving a pro-chief viewpoint to him, and he just turned and walked off. So I thought, well, apparently he doesn't want to hear the other side of the story, but it just amazes me how he and one other person, like hearing from two people, can, I would guess, tie the Big Ten Network up in knots. I mean, it just seems so unreal. And as you say, this, as far as he thinks about it. This is never going to be solved. He just wants to blot out every Native American symbol that he can.
If I read this story right, he's complaining about television picking up on a Big Ten Network game, picking up a flag that had the chief's picture on it, and it was in a tailgating area.
Right.
I think I read that right. Well, what? First of all, what business is it of his? And secondly, I'd like to see Stephen Kaufman go to that area and try to take that down and see what happened.
Well, I called in years ago. I was going through a grocery line at Strawberry Fields, and I recognized Mr. Kaufman as he went through the checkout lane, and he didn't know it. He didn't see her, but right behind him was a lady with a big chief sweatshirt on. And
if I saw him, that's what I would do is go find a chief sweatshirt or a flag or both, or maybe a chief hat also, and some chief pants and some chief shoes, and you know.
It's just a shame that one person like that can cause such an uproar and tie so many people and organizations up in knots.
Well, they're never satisfied. The chief is gone, the war chant is gone. Who knows what is gone next? And both the chancellor and Barry Houser said the 3-1 is safe, that it's not going to happen, but don't be too sure.
Right.
I mean, they're just trying to wipe out every reference that they possibly can.
Well, hey. As you say, we don't know what the future of the 3-1 is going to be, but I hope it's not next thing to go.
Well, Barry Houser will go with it, he told me.
Yeah. Well,
he said
if they
try to get rid of the 3-1, they're getting rid of the director of the Marching Illini as well.
Well, I'm very proud. That's nice of him to stand up for it. Two people I always was grateful for their going to bat for the chief was Tim Johnson and Chapin Rose. I remember when, like I said, Tim Johnson had the hearing and Chapin Rose gave such a wonderful pro-chief talk. And I said to him afterwards, I thanked him and said that was a wonderful talk. So, but they've sure done all they can through the end. And of course,
Roger Huddleston.
Yeah, my dear friend for so many years. I used to do his ads on Channel 3. Just such a classy gentleman to work with and work for. And,
there's a whole bunch of people that have continued the quest to make sure that the chief is not forgotten, that they honor the chief society, and they meet on a regular basis, on a monthly basis. I get their newsletter. They're always trying to do real positive things, and they've done some great things too. You know, the people like Kaufman won't even leave them alone.
No.
Hey, appreciate the call, Rick. I'm going to break here at 10:30 for the news headlines with Brian Barnhart, and come back after that with more Open Line until 11.
All right, thank you, Jim. And this morning's update this hour brought to you by F.E. Moran Security Solutions, protecting what matters most to you. The U.S. Navy says 8 people who were recovered from the crash of a transport aircraft in the Pacific are in good condition, and the search continues for 3 other missing personnel. The Navy says in a tweet the 8 are on board USS Ronald Reagan aircraft carrier. A Zimbabwe ruling party official says incoming leader Emmerson Mnangagwa has returned to that country. The chief whip there confirms that Mnangagwa is in the capital and will meet Politburo members at party headquarters for a briefing. President's pro-ambulance service has received approval to move into a vacant fire station in Danville. The Danville City Council last night signed off on allowing the ambulance service to move into the station at 1711 East Main. The council approved the needed zoning change that allows Presence Pro to lease Station 4. And the next police chief in the Champaign County Village of Thomasboro says he retired too soon, and that's primarily what drove Robert Ray to seek the appointment, which was approved by the village board last night, 6-0. He'll replace the retiring Keith Willis. We'll come back with our forecast after this. As far as the forecast here today from News Gazette media meteorologist Greg Solier this afternoon, sunny and colder, a high of 37. Increasingly cloudy tonight, a low of 27. And for your Thanksgiving Day tomorrow, not as cold, partly cloudy and a high of 45. The Dow down 48, NASDAQ down 1, S&P is down 2. Have a great Thanksgiving weekend. I'll talk to you tonight from the State Farm Center for Illini Men's Basketball. And we'll see you then, 10:33, 31 degrees. Jim returns with more Penny next.
We're back on Penny for Your Thoughts. I'm Jim Turpin. This is an open line until 11. And we go to Karen. Hi, Karen.
Hi, Jim. I'm so glad that that caller from yesterday called back again today about the congressional fund to pay off the, you know, people who were complaining about abuse. And, you know, I think we had several calls yesterday on that topic, and one of the panelists did dismiss. The one person elaborated exactly what the process is that people have to go through to even begin to file a grievance in the congressional process. And they said it was like 30 days of counseling and then several days of mediation, and that's before they can even file a grievance. And then one of the panelists said, oh, that's not true. But last night on 5:30 NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt, it was right on the news. They had graphics showing each step in the process that someone would have to go through. And I was kind of surprised because somebody on your show yesterday said, oh, no, no, they don't have to. That part isn't true.
Well, that was only a judge. Why do they know anything?
Well, you know, the thing is, a lot of the congressmen aren't even aware that this is happening. You know, Jim Jordan's been on TV saying, and he was asked, did you know this was even a thing? Did you know this even existed? He said, no, I didn't know. You know, and plenty of them aren't even aware of it. So
I didn't know, that's for sure. I mean,
yeah, but yeah, that is true. It's, they actually have to wait a significant length of time and go through several steps in a process, including counseling and mediation, before they can even file a grievance. So that was kind of surprising, too. So that's not the normal process, but that's how it is.
Okay, well, thank you, Karen. I'm glad you called.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye. We're at 356-9397. You can text us at 351-5357. If you have something on your mind today, just let me know. And we go to Eric. Hello, Eric.
Morning, Jim. Happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you, sir.
Well, so we want to talk about skating rinks. I grew up in the shadow of the U of I rink, and it's gone through a lot of changes. It had one renovation, really, and it played with the ice surface, shrinking it ever more every time they redo the piping and refrigeration there. When what was the Athletic Association gave up the rink to the Division of Campus Recreation, it kind of put, you know, it was a death knell for CU youth hockey, for figure skating programs, and, of course, my sport, speed skating. And we weren't able to log the time. I mean, they've got all types of different student acts, not, you know, just weird. The rink's not accessible to the public as it was back in the day. I mean, there wasn't a kid in town that didn't have a pair of skates and was out there. I mean, I think a lot of that was, forget the competitive aspect, but it just kept people active during the winter and out of trouble. And I'd like to see them build a rink that included an outdoor 400-meter track, not indoor, but on the model of the Pettit Center in Milwaukee, or the one that has the largest sheet of ice, but it's outdoors. It also includes two hockey rinks, and that's the facility at John Rose Oval and Ice Skating Center in suburban St. Paul. It's another good one that's out there. You know, how much it costs now. I know what these things just cost, $100, but $80 to have a new weightlifting facility, a lift or whatever they're doing over there for football. I mean, it seems like a piece of that, you could have a pretty nice facility that a whole lot of people could use. And I guess that's my position.
Okay. Well, thank you, Eric. Appreciate hearing from you. Thank you. Randy is next. Hello, Randy.
Good morning, Jim. How you doing?
I am good. What's going on, Randy?
Hey, just a little inside information that I would like to pass along about the chief.
Okay.
I hope Kaufman is listening. Chief will return to the University of Illinois, and Mr. Kaufman can write letters to anybody he wants to until his fingers fall off. But I just want to let him know that from my inside information, he will return. Thank you.
Well, I wish he would have elaborated before he hung up, because I have not heard that the chief is going to be returning. Katie is next. Hi, Katie.
Hi, Jim. It's nice to hear this voice again.
Well, nice to hear your voice again.
It's been a long time since I've seen your face.
What's going on? What's on your mind today?
Well, I'd love to have the chief back just as much as anybody, but I'd like to see the football team do much better than winning two games this year.
Well, that would help, wouldn't it? That's the students that are one of the things they say is the students need something to rally around. Well, what
yes,
you rally do. Around is a winning team. whether you have a mascot or you don't have a mascot, you think the people up at Wisconsin would be rallying around Bucky Badger if they weren't winning every game they played? No, they wouldn't.
No, but I think we're going to have to give Lovey a couple more years than it.
Yes, I believe that too. He started from ground zero. He really
and
did.
He lost quite a few seniors.
They're like nine seniors, I believe. Seven, eight, nine, something like that.
This is what they call the true young team.
Well, there's nobody in the country that played the number of freshmen that we played. That's for sure. Thank you, Katie. Appreciate your call. It's 10:43, a break. Mr. Bond, we're coming right back. Phone line's open. Couple of texts came in. 35 years from now, there will be some Native American group trying to get Native American recognition back because there will be nothing left to represent their race. And another, Jim, why wouldn't the News Gazette have a poll for those that agree with Stephen Kaufman and those that don't agree with Stephen Kaufman? I think the results would be very revealing. Let's go back to the phones. This is another Eric. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning, Jim. It seems like the Republicans are going down the same path they did when George Bush Jr. was president. And, you know, we had the Great Recession at the end of his term. Now, this trickle-down theory, yeah, they can take that money possibly and expand their business. But I think the CEO will also realize, hey, if I buy back the stock, that will increase the price, that will increase my money. Or he can give out the money in dividends, which will increase his stock, his wealth. And, hell, then it won't increase jobs at all on those two counts. Also, they want to eliminate the Dodd-Frank bill, which required the banks to hold more money in reserve in case of an economic downturn. If they eliminate that, they didn't have that before, so the CEOs were tempted to trade wildly, and then when they got in trouble, then that's when we hit the wall. So, you know, stock buybacks or a trickle down that will only convert the money to buy back the stocks or pay the stockholders. It doesn't add up. So that's my comment.
All right. Thank you, Eric. Appreciate it. Had a little bad line there. I had a difficult hearing everything that he had to say, but appreciate his call nonetheless. Speaking of money, Busey is banking on youth with their initiative. It's called Money Smart Youth. Money Smart Youth prepares today's youth for tomorrow's financial responsibility. Children learn the importance of money, how it's used, earned, saved, and taxed. The fun, animated program is great for children from 5 to 10 years old. 5 to 10. Video lessons include understanding money, that's ages 5 to 6, priorities, ages 6 to 7, smart ways to spend, donate, and invest, ages 8 to 9, and taxes and credit, ages 9 to 10. Utilize Money Smart Youth online, free of charge, and on your schedule by visiting Busey.com. Busey believes in the power of financial literacy and educating children at an early age. Research reveals that young people determine their attitude about handling money by the time they finish the fifth grade. A survey of parents by Networks Financial Institute found only 57% of homes have talked about saving or spending. Fewer than 40% have discussed credit cards, loans, debt, and their own finances. And even less have talked about investing with their children. Busey provides financial education tools and resources for children and adults alike. Visit Busey.com and look under Resource. Find online calculators, planning checklists, budget worksheets, and so much more. Or let one of their knowledgeable associates answer your financial questions. Partner with an advocate for education in our community, Busey. Invest in your child's future with Busey and their Money Smart Youth Initiative. Visit Busey.com or stop by one of their convenient locations today for solutions to your personal, business, and wealth management needs. And we go back to the phones for Lou. Hello, Lou.
Hey, Jim. This is Illini Lou. I just want to call, you know, it's Stephen Kaufman's the one that keeps stirring all this stuff up. And if I had a flag with the chief logo on it, I would proudly fly it at my home, at a tailgate party, any place else.
And I'd like to see him come and take it down, wouldn't you?
I would, too. Now, I'm just getting a little upset with his almighty do-gooder business.
Yeah, I guess that's what you do when you become a professor emeritus. I guess you're looking for something to occupy your time.
Yeah, and you got to get your name in the paper.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm just getting a little tired of all of his goings-on. But he's not going to shut up, so.
Hang in there, Lou.
I'm trying. Okay, Jim.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. A break here. This is our last break, I believe. Right, Mr. Bond? We come back. We'll have several more minutes to take more of your calls. And back to the phones we go for Val. Hello, Val.
Hey, Jim, I just wanted to thank you for your many years of service. It's been such a pleasure talking to you, and you've really done a great job. I really appreciate that, and good luck to you in the future.
Well, thank you.
And let me get my chief in here. I tell you what, I will never quit wearing the chief. I will never buy anything other than the chief. So I think we should, instead of sitting back and just taking all this stuff, we flood the basketball game with chief stuff. Everybody has a chief shirt or chief emblem, wear it. Football game, everybody in the stands wear the chief emblem. I just love that. I'd love to see that. So.
I would love to see that myself. That would be great, wouldn't it?
It will never take the chief away. As far as I'm good, he's a symbol, not a mascot. And we all take Kaufman away. That's what we all take away.
Well,
good luck to you, Jim.
Hey, well, thank you. I appreciate your call, and I agree with you on the chief. Wouldn't that be fun if everybody at the State Farm Center had a chief shirt on?
Something. We sit back and do nothing, and we let them keep taking away, and we just kind of take it.
get a little thing.
It's kind of what,
send an email to the chancellor, huh?
It's kind of hard to know what you can do, you know.
About 50,000 emails to the chancellor saying, hey. Oh, well.
Hey, thank you. Appreciate it, Val.
Have a happy
President Trump has said that he tweeted this today, that the NFL is considering keeping the teams inside the locker rooms during the national anthem next year over the fallout from the players' protest this year. The NFL is now thinking about a new idea, keeping teams in the locker room during the national anthem next season, Trump tweeted. That's almost as bad as kneeling. When will the highly paid commissioner finally get tough and smart? The issue is killing your league. Trump was likely referring to the Washington Post report Tuesday that said owners are mulling an off-season change in the league's anthem policy. Several sources told the paper that keeping players inside the locker room is on the table. Trump has been critical of players who have taken a knee the entire season, has suggested that the owner should fire any players who kneel during the national anthem. Trump was most recently targeted Oakland Raiders running back Marshawn Lynch for sitting down in a game in Mexico and for our national anthem and standing up for the Mexican anthem. Let's go to Carl. Hello, Carl.
Hi, Jim. This is a very sad day for me. I knew it was coming a long time ago, but just wanted to put in my two cents worth to thank Jim Turpin for finally making a decision to retire again. And you're not retiring, Jim. You're going to live life in another location. I know you're going to wake up in the morning with a smile on your face and thank somebody that you're still alive, and you'll have more time now to take care of yourself and to volunteer even more like a lot of other folks do. So I think we need to have a moment of silence and not be signing off song, but just ask wow.
All right, Carl. Thank you. Appreciate your kind words. Well, as I mentioned at the top of the show, there will be no Penny tomorrow. And as we've done traditionally, there will be no regular programming during this time period on Friday either. And, of course, we're off on the weekend, so the next time that we'll talk will be next Monday. And that will be with Lauren Tate as we do our Monday morning quarterbacking. So we'll have a look at what happened over the weekend, and a lot of things are happening. By then, we'll know about the volleyball team, for example, whether they'll be in the tournament or not. I believe that's a decision to be made on Sunday night. Talk to you then on Monday on DWS. Have a nice Thanksgiving.